WOBM Lakewood Township, WADB Asbury Park,
a Town Square Media station.
Welcome to Monmouth University Basketball on the Shore Sports Network, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and shoresportsnetwork.com. Tonight's game is powered by Coke Zero. Basketball-related chest bumps, high fives, and trash talk. Brought to you by Coke Zero. Enjoy everything. The NJEA, making public schools great for every child. First Atlantic Federal Credit Union, Barnabas Health, Sonic, America's Drive-In, and the Asbury Park Press. This is the Monmouth Hawks Radio Network, a production of the Monmouth University Department of Athletics. Let's head down to the court and join Eddie Acapinti and Matt Harmon for all of tonight's action.
And we want to wish everyone listening right now along the airwaves of the Shore Sports Network a very good Thursday evening. And this is kind of historic. It's the first game of the last season Monmouth University will play in the Northeast Conference, as tonight MU begins league play by visiting Grimes Hill, the Spiro Sports Center, and their local regional rival, the Wagner College Seahawks. Alongside my broadcast partner this evening, Matt Harmon, I am Eddie Acapinti, and thank you one and all for listening to this broadcast of Monmouth University men's basketball. Also joining us on the pregame tonight is Steve Bazzaz, the third man in our broadcast crew. And gentlemen, and Matt, we'll start with you. It's kind of weird on the way up. We mentioned it a few times that this is the final time that Monmouth will come to this gym as a member of the Northeast Conference, and it couldn't happen in a game that really, you can't underestimate the importance of this game. MU in dire need of a win with this, their first league game of the season.
And as you said, one of their longtime rivals here in the Northeast Conference. This coming in, this rivalry has been heated at times. It has been long running at times. It goes all the way back into the mid-80s when these two teams started meeting one another. Monmouth has an all-time series advantage of 32-22, and you'd be hard-pressed to find many schools that Monmouth has played as many times as they have this Wagner Seahawks team. And I couldn't agree with you more, Eddie. This is a Monmouth team that in the month of December, for lack really of a better term, fell apart. You know, I mean, I know the schedule was difficult with the games against Syracuse, Maryland, and Villanova, but if you would have told me on the 3rd of December, the last time that Monmouth won, a game that you and I broadcast from up at Binghamton University, in which MU really rolled from start to finish, won that game by 12. If you would have told me that they would have went the whole rest of the month and not gotten a win out of any of those five games, I would have told you that you're crazy.
And those games Matt is referencing began with a loss at home to Navy, 85-66, on Wednesday, December the 5th, and it's run all the way through to this past New Year's Eve, back on Wednesday when they lost at Fordham, 82-71. So it's been a year of streaks, guys. Monmouth won that first game of the year against Hofstra, then lost three straight, then won four straight, and now, Steve, they're on this nasty five-game losing streak that couldn't have come at a worse time, because really, when you're a Northeast Conference school, what matters is how you do in the league, and MU will come into a game tonight at Wagner against one of the expected better teams in the conference, and a Wagner team that's won four of five, but the Hawks in dire need of getting a win themselves.
You're exactly right, Eddie. And the Hawks have definitely been very disappointing on the floor over the past few games. And, yes, they played some very good teams. Defensively, we're going to go over some stats in a second, Eddie, where defensively it's kind of lost the Hawks the past few games. I mean, taking a look at the stats, Navy at the max shot 57%. Syracuse shoots 51%. Maryland shoots 58%. Villanova shoots 54%, and they shoot 68% from three, including 15 threes, and then Fordham shoots 47%. I mean, that's not very good defense, and it seems like when the Hawks don't turn teams over 20-plus times, they really struggle defensively, and teams seem way too comfortable on the offensive end when they're playing against the Hawks.
This is the pregame show presented by First Atlantic Federal Credit Union. Visit FAFCU.com to learn why First Atlantic is the better way to bank. Well, gentlemen, let's kind of dive into those numbers a little more. And Steve, you alluded to it. Matt, all the games we broadcasted, it seems as though when the Hawks are getting turnovers, when they're scoring in transition is when they're at their best. But when they're not doing those things, they have really struggled to shoot. And that doesn't bode well tonight against the Wagner team that leads the NEC in scoring defense.
Yeah, they only average giving up about 61 points per game, Wagner does. So very tough. Not just, I think from 1 through 5, they're tough. They're tough guarding in the front court. They're tough guarding in the back court. So Monmouth will have to work, obviously, extremely hard And I think that what MU has to try and do tonight, Steve, is get off to somehow get off to a quick start, because if they dig themselves an early hole in this game, it's not the friendliest of gyms to play in. Maybe Monmouth actually catching a little bit of a break playing here while school is not
sure.
in session against Wagner, which over the last couple of years has really done a good job of kind of packing this tightly confined gym and making sure that the students get out, much like Monmouth has started to do as well. But this can be a very hard place to play. But if you don't get off to a good start, you know, you have to wonder at some point. They've always said winning is contagious, but so is losing. You know, when does doubt really start to creep into the minds of the players on this team, which have now lost five in a row?
And you're right about getting off to a good start. Plus, Wagner is without tonight their best player, their best scorer, Latif Rivers. He's serving a one-game suspension. He will be out tonight. That's huge for the Hawks. They're coming into this game with a ton of opportunity. Jonathan Williams is their versatile four-man. He scores 16 points per game. He's coming off the bench tonight. It's the first time in his career that he's coming off the bench. He's coming off the bench due to injury. So the Hawks come into this game with a lot of opportunity to come into Wagner and pull off an upset. And two of the probably the main issues, other than defense right now with the Hawks, is that Jesse Steele and Deion Nesmith have yet to get rolling. And I know Deion struggled with his shot in the non-conference last year, and then in conference play, he was one of the best shooters in the NEC. And Deion and Jesse really have to get rolling for the Hawks to get back on the winning track.
Well, I think the one thing, and I think we've all talked about this at different points of working together during the course of the year, the one thing that Monmouth has not had in any of their previous games is they've had good games from Jesse Steele and a good game from Deion Nesmith, Steve, but they've never had both of them play a good game at the same time, which to me is absolutely crucial for this team, which is really, you know, Marcus Ware obviously a really big part of the team for sure, but this is a backcourt center team and they need good guard play in order to have success.
You're exactly right, and another problem that the Hawks have is they don't have any size, and that hurts team. Well, it really hurts you when you play really good teams like Syracuse and Maryland, and you know, even Fordham had a lot of good size. So the Hawks don't have a lot of size. They really only have one back-to-the-basket type scorer in Marcus Ware. So like you said, Matt, they are really a perimeter-driven team. And when you're starting point guard and when you're starting two guard really haven't gotten going yet, the team has struggled. And we'll see if they can get it going. I believe that when they get back to the NEC play, that they're going to be okay. And Jesse kind of got going at the end of the Fordham game last game and hit three threes late in the game. The game was pretty much over, but maybe that'll give him some confidence going into this game that he can get it going a little bit.
Well, it's going to be important for Jesse to get it going because we've all been waiting now 13 games for him to be the player that we not only saw last season, guys, but that we thought we'd see this year. We heard about it and we saw how much improved Jesse was over the summer. He's in phenomenal athletic shape. We figured this would be the year. There were overtures in the offseason. He was even looking to further his basketball career after this year, but what has been the key as far as why he hasn't got it going? Matt, has it been that he's not hitting his shots? Because he doesn't even look, at least in my eyes, like the same player that we saw last season.
No, I don't think he looks like the same player either. I mean, there's been hint during the course of the early part of the year of an injury. You know, whether that has really been the situation or not, I don't think anyone would really say. And I think Jesse trying to maybe play through some things early on. And I think one of the other things, and I don't know if you guys agree with me, and this isn't necessarily a negative. I think last year he was basically the offense for a lot of stretches of the game. Marcus Ware, you know, kind of took basically the entire season to come back. Deion Nesmith didn't really come on until the latter part of the year. So this was really Jesse's team to run last year. So he had his ball. And had the ball in his hands a good majority of the time. This year, his minutes, though in stretches he's played a lot of minutes, I think his minutes are down from last year, and maybe that was a plan in the non-conference games to keep him a little bit fresh for conference games coming through. But he hasn't, to me at least, been able to find a true rhythm, where last year he was on the floor basically, I don't know, 36, 37 out of 40 minutes. This year, if he's averaging 30, I think that would be a surprise.
And I think another thing too, Matt, to add to what you're saying, is that I don't think he's sneaking up on anybody this year. Or when you go into Monmouth University and who do you have to stop, the guy is Jesse Steele, or was last year, and I don't think he's sneaking up on anybody anymore. So 2 years ago, he was a walk-on who wasn't eligible until the second semester. You know, last year, with the coaching change and getting the starting job, he really, you know,
thrust himself onto the scene and had a great year. So now I think teams know that one of the main guys on Monmouth University to stop is Jesse Steele. And that's a credit to him. He is a very talented basketball player, and I do believe that he will get it going this season.
Well, gentlemen, let's take a look at the other kind of major senior leader that we haven't mentioned yet in this game, and that's Ed Waite. He was slowed these last couple of days in practice by an ankle injury. He had a boot on at practice the other day. We were told he's going to be able to play tonight. He isn't in the starting lineup, which we'll get to shortly. But how much can MU expect to get out of him? We know this Wagner team is a big team. And obviously without Latif Rivers, they might even be a little bit bigger in that starting lineup. Ed is undersized. We know that. But it seems as though he's always in foul trouble. He has yet to get it going, that outside of that Binghamton game that we called. But realistically, what can MU expect from Ed? Because for them to be good, and by good we mean, you know, the four seed in the NEC hypothetically, if not better, what does he need to do?
Well, tonight, if he's not feeling up to 100%, I think the only thing you can expect out of him is to just be a little bit of a spark off the bench and maybe give some of the rotation guys in the front court a bit of a breather when they might need it. You know, if Khalil Brown, who's starting tonight along with Marcus Ware, those are your two forwards basically. He's gonna have to come in and reverse roles with one of those guys, be a spot guy tonight. You know, maybe you get something a little bit more out of Gary Cox or Tyrone O'Garrow. Maybe you get something a little bit more from backcourt, like we said. But when you have a guy who's nicked up and hurting, I don't know what you're going to get out of Ed Waite tonight. What I do know is that when we've seen good Ed Waite, it can be tremendous, like we did at Binghamton. When we've seen bad Ed Waite, and we've said this basically for his entire career, when he gets in early foul problems and doesn't really get involved with the game early on, he can sometimes be a bit of a non-factor.
And just to go off that, I think it's a bit telling that maybe the two guys that we've just brought up and talked about in this pregame, we're talking about a struggling team here, and we just brought up the two seniors that start, Jesse Steele and Ed Waite. I mean, this team is going to go as they go. They are the senior leaders of this team. And Jesse's the point guard. Ed's your senior, front court guy who has all the talent in the world. And he's going to have to put it together here and have a good finish to the season in NEC play for, like you said, Eddie, for this team to be a four seed or better and get a home game in a tournament.
And, gentlemen, there's just about a minute before we take a break for the national anthem, but 60 seconds now or less. What are the keys to the game? What does MU have to do this evening specifically to beat this Wagner team that has more size and that has, at least this season so far, played really good defense?
I think offensively, Eddie, the Hawks have to be patient. Now, you know the Hawks are going to get up and down the floor in secondary break, and they want to score in transition, which they're going to have to do because Wagner plays great half-court defense. However, when the game is in the half-court, they really have to slow down and be patient and not try to do too much. If they try to put the ball on the floor too much, it's going to lead to turnovers. It could lead to bad shots, and then you get run-out attempts for Wagner. So I think offensively they have to be very patient, run your stuff, run it over again, and try to get the best shots you can in the half-court set.
I think defensively, you know, you have to try to make Wagner a little uncomfortable if you can, because we've seen Monmouth have success when they have been able to turn people over and get out in transition. So to me, at least, it starts defensively against a team that is bigger, both physically and just tall lengthwise. So Monmouth has to take them out of their game a little bit.
And something that Matt also said about starting off on a good note, you know, same thing for Wagner. Wagner doesn't score very well either. So if they start off hot, that's going to give them a lot of confidence. So Monmouth's going to have to play strong defense too.
We'll take a two-minute timeout. When we come back, we'll give you the starting lineups, and we'll have the tip for you between Monmouth and Wagner right here on the Shore Sports Network. Two-minute timeout, and we're back courtside right here.